Off the ball, GAA.
He's been uncanny ability to turn that into a positive. So I can absolutely see why, from a vibe sense alone, appointment like Andy Moran is good for Mayo football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
This is Football Saturday. John Duggan with you through to five. Hope you're doing great, folks, out around the country. You can WhatsApp us 0879 180 180. Joined in studio by two ex-League of Ireland managers, Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy. How are we doing, gents?
All good, all good.
Great form, John. Very good form after this morning's exploits.
Well, you're a Spurs fan, Shane, as we know, and Tottenham have beaten Manchester City 2-0. Bit of a surprise at the Etihad Stadium. Goals from Brennan Johnson and Jean Paulinho for Spurs. And a goal already from Marcus Tavernier for Bournemouth in their 3 o'clock kickoff at home to Wolves. 1-0 for the Cherries. Brentford 0, Aston Villa 0. Kelleher and Collins involved for Brentford today. Burnley 0, Sunderland 0. We also have on the line from London the ex-Republic of Ireland striker David Connolly. How are you, David?
I'm very well. Good afternoon, lads.
David, what happened in the City Spurs game? Can you sum it up for us?
Well, I told you last week, John, you had a top manager there. You know, I'm sure there will be tougher things to do, you know, and they did beat them last season, I guess, and maybe they've got their number, Tottenham. But I just really like the manager. As you know, it's my local club, so I know a lot about him. I mentioned last week about Richarlison looking really, really happy. I think the manager suits him. You know, I think if anyone's going to get something out of him, it's him. You know, just look, every time the ball came into him, he made it stick and he got hold of it, you know, and he's a presence up there. And you go back to Brentford last week, I said basically they had no presence up front. It kept coming back. But, you know, the high press, all the usual stuff they got right. You know, they pressed high. I thought Trafford was really poor today, the City goalkeeper. You know, I think they lacked that bit of composure in goal. He rushed all his clearances. It just seemed like Tottenham got after them, loads of energy, and they had quality as well. And they got pace, and they got a bit of physical presence as well. You know, they're strong straight through the middle of the sort of the spine of the team. And they've got a really good manager who I think will do very well, John. So a really good day for them. And you know, still a bit of work for a lot of these teams to do. Same with City. I've seen a lot of goalkeeper mistakes. I don't know what the lads think, but we've seen a lot of goalkeeping errors. Like even in the West Ham game yesterday, Hermansson made look really weak. We saw United last week on the corner, really weak. Balls coming in the box. And what I thought was good today, I don't know if you noticed, but Thomas Frankie marked sort of zonally all the outswinging corners. They had no one in the 6 yard box. So every outswinger, they were 8 yards from their goal. Even if a City player got ahead on it, the goalkeeper had the whole of the 6 yard box to command. And I don't know whether that's, you know, maybe deliberate, looking at let's give our keeper the best chance of not being blocked off. No one blocking him and stuff like that. So little bits like that, John, you would know more than me, maybe Shane as well, if Tottenham done that last season. I can't recall. I don't watch him that often. But I just thought, you know, maybe he's looked at how goals have gone in, soft goalkeeping. Maybe he's changed that as well. No, really good day for Tottenham.
Somebody, John, is going to have to explain the Ederson one to me, because I just can't wrap my head around it. Like, I can't figure this out. What did Pep Guardiola possibly see in Ederson last year that told him he needed to change his goalkeeper? I cannot make sense of this. I think he's top three, top four goalkeepers in the world. And while I also wouldn't agree with the Donnarumma one at PSG, I can somewhat understand. I get the Luis Enrique thing of, well, I want a guy who's really comfortable with the ball at his feet. But Pep can't even fall back on that. Like, is there a better goalkeeper with the ball at his feet than Ederson? Like, you watch that second goal today. The killing thing for teams with Ederson was that you knew City were going to try and play out in the back. So you went to try and press them. But if you tried to press them, he'd ping it the half the length of the field onto somebody's toe and they'd get in behind you that way. But today, Spurs went to press.
Just to explain, anybody who didn't see it, literally gifted Spurs a goal for Paulinho from his own.
100%. He doesn't even start with the ball at his feet. It's one of the centre halves, plays it into him. John Stones, I think, or I'm not sure who, plays it into him. And he plays a ball like inside his own 18-yard box with a player absolutely breathing down his throat. Papa Sarr steals it off him. Richarlison, Paulinho, balls in the back of the net. But like last year, opposition teams would have set up similar to the way Spurs tried to do it, but the difference last year was you play that pass to Ederson and Ederson goes, oh, pressure is too much here, bang, I'm going to ping it the length of the field to Doku's toe, who then has like half a pitch in front of him to run into. I don't think Keaton has, and listen, he's an excellent goalkeeper, he was absolutely outstanding for Burnley last year, but it just, somebody give me the thinking or the justification behind Ederson not being a right fit for City. I just can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, it's just one of them ones, exactly as you're saying there. If you want to have a press against the team and the keeper is not comfortable with the ball at his feet, it's the biggest cue to press. You know that yourself, Shane. Anywhere you set up, if it's a midfielder that's not comfortable on the ball, you go press him. If it's the goalkeeper that you're pressing and you're a team that passes out the back, you make one mistake and it's over. Like it's not like a centre
forward. Normally
a
left-sided centre half, yeah, isn't it? You're hoping the left-sided centre half is right-footed and then you're trying to get after that
one. Make a press there, or the keeper if he's pouring the ball. But as you're saying last year, like anyone pressed, he would have just gone, right, Grant, I just knock it 70 yards and then you're 1v1 against one of the most attacking players in the league. So, yeah.
City, you know, look, like, go on, David.
There was a little sort of warning before they conceded that goal where Rico Lewis, I think, played a pass back to Trafford from about 3 yards away, right? Now, he played it to his right foot. Now, I know he's right-footed, but the pressure was coming from the right. So he actually should have played it to his left foot. And he played it to his right and pointed to play out to the left. But the problem is, you play it to a goalkeeper on his right foot and he's getting pressed from that side. That cuts down how much time he's got. So really, Rico Lewis should have been playing it as if he was playing with Ederson, because Trafford should be two-footed, right? Mm-hmm. Play it to his left. That, when I'm a centre-forward, that means that doubles how far I've got to run, because now I'm running on the diagonal. I'm not running straight. Just those little details, I imagine Pep will be pulling his hair out, because that is the difference. And that just shows you that they're not quite there yet. They're not doing the little bits and pieces that make the difference between playing out and getting out and not. And he just about got away with that. But, and I agree, yeah, that's when you got to know as a goalkeeper, if it's not on, you go long. And I wouldn't mind, but he's up, you know, they've got Haaland, who's 6'4". They don't have a 5'8" striker. I just get it up to him and he'll get hold of it. So, yeah. Anyway.
And don't get me wrong, David. I'm not particularly going after Heaton here. I think Heaton is an excellent goalkeeper.
Trafford.
I think he's an excellent goalkeeper. But the difference for me is, like David's pointed out one or two, I'd already have question marks over the United goalkeeper. I'd have question marks over the West Ham goalkeeper. It's not that I have question marks over the City keeper. I just can't understand how there was ever a need for a change in keeper.
Yeah, Brentford have scored against Aston Villa. So 1-0 for David Connolly's team, you would call them.
Not Keith Andrews' team, David Connolly's team. One Irishman, two
another. They're a lot stronger today, you know, because Damsgaard's back in. They needed a bit more muscle than last week. They look physically weaker than Forest last week. So, they look stronger today. And is it a debut goal, maybe, is it?
Yeah, Thiago, I think, is
no,
it?
No, I don't think it is.
Is it not?
Oh, it's Thiago.
Otara, is it?
Is it not Milambo, no?
Yeah, I think it is.
No, I think it's Igor. Is it? I can't see it. I don't know. It's not Malambo. He's
back
not starting.
Front. Just getting a replay of it here now. Back to front very fast. One little flick on.
Second attempt at it here.
Great radio for those listening as we stare up at a monitor here.
Yeah.
19.
I think it is Ouattara.
Yeah,
I think
it is Ouattara, yeah.
Dango Ouattara, yeah. The signing from Bournemouth.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done very well. I mean, it's absolute route one. It's a ball straight down the middle and one
exactly
flicker.
What we were just talking about in the City game there.
Yeah, very,
it's literally,
very
it's
true.
It's literally the same situation where they've gone long and it's gone beyond the centre-back and he's outpaced him and he's finished the second attempt.
Keith's looking happy.
Yeah, Keith Andrews.
Yeah, that's a big goal.
Yeah, Brentford 1, Aston Villa 0 in the Premier League in the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Dango Ouattara, the signing from Bournemouth, record signing. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0, by the way, in the other game at 3 o'clock. That's got a goal. Marcus Tavernier and Burnley 0, Sunderland 0. Manchester City 0, Spurs 2, a result from earlier on. Just in the Championship, any scores coming in from the 3 o'clock? Yeah, there's one goal. Preston 1, Ipswich 0. Also, Coventry 1, QPR 0. So we're watching that as well. Just from Manchester City, like I thought, oh, they're back on their horse. Maybe one game is not enough to evidence David Connolly against Wolves, but obviously things to do. But were there bright sparks for City?
I think you'd be struggling to find too many bright sparks, to be honest. You know, I I guess the positive was, we spoke about it last week, you know, Rodri, he came back on. I thought sooner than expected. Foden came on. Bernardo Silva, they looked stronger, obviously, when I think those three came on. But, I mean, they kind of like struggled to really create much.
They probably should have, or certainly could have, scored twice in the first half, David. The Haaland pass to put Marmoush through, I thought the Vicario save off of that was absolutely excellent. And then Haaland himself has a header towards the end of the half that a player of his standard you'd expect. But like, the really worrying thing for me from their perspective was, like, you look at what PSG did to Tottenham only, whatever, 10 days ago, in terms of the relentless pressure when they were 2-0 behind, pinning them into their own half. Like, thankfully, as a Spurs fan, like, the second half was a non-event. Nothing happened, which is exactly what Thomas Frank would have wanted. Nothing happened. There was no, you know, heart and mouth moment whatsoever. It was all pretty comfortable. There was just no spark about City. Like, they looked like they could score when Spurs were still coming out after them in the first half. But once Spurs decided to...
He was Paulinho to that.
I thought he was absolutely outstanding. I've said it to you before, John. I don't know if I've ever been as happy with a Tottenham signing in my life. I swear to you. I've never seen a guy to so fit the bill for what a team is so missing. I just think we have been missing that kind of player for like 10 years plus nearly at this stage. And I thought he was outstanding today. He got after absolutely everything. The amount of times he unsettled them. Just his usual thing, like just snapping around everybody's heels. Look, he's not an open you up with a raking, you know, long range pass kind of a player, but just his ability to protect the back line. City obviously probably exploit that area in front of the 18-yard box better than anybody. But once he's in that zone, there's just no way through. I think he's brilliant.
One thing which I think I did notice, which was I touched on last week. Now, they got their line spot on last week, Man City, their defensive line. I mean, absolutely spot on. They caught Wolves offside 4 or 5 times. Now, if you're Tottenham and you're a top manager, Tim would know, you look at the last game and you go, right, what do we pick out from the last game? Well, their defensive line, very, very high. So if we time our runs, if we get it right, we could be in. And all it takes, it's a fine line between really well done and obviously it can just go wrong. You can just slip like John Stones does, or he just stepped up fractionally too late. That is all it takes and you're bang in trouble. And that's what happened. And in a game of kind of like fine margins or whatever, it just takes the odd mistake. And that was it. John Stones just stepped up half a yard too late. That's all it was, or a foot.
The two City goals, John, were extremely reminiscent of the two kinds of goals that Tottenham consistently conceded last year.
Yeah.
By playing a line too high. I thought John Stones, I wouldn't be letting him off the hook too easy, David. I know the slip was involved, but for me, the decision-making was wrong. Like, he steps in to play offside. He has to see that I just need to go with him here. Like, Richarlison's a good player, but he's not one that's going to absolutely burn you for pace. So I think if you go with him, you probably deal with him.
But you probably look at John Stones now.
Shane, you can't.
Yeah.
He won't go with him because... If Pep has told him,
yeah,
playing this way, if he drops, Pep will say, that's not what I told you to do. So what you have to do, you have to get it bang on every time. And that's his mistake. He was half a yard too late to react.
And again, I think as well, you'll know as well, David, is very quickly people lose half a yard. So Stones might be at that stage now where he might have lost that little half a yard of pace. So... And if he's been asked to play a high line, like, I remember Chelsea changed it at one stage with John Terry and he looked very, very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And now City seem to be in that thing now, they're trying to congest the pitch. And they're probably the best team in the country playing in tight areas. So maybe they want it as small as possible.
Goal for Burnley. 1-0 against Sunderland. We'll confirm the score in due course. Go on, David.
Well, I was going to say, because the other thing would be, right, if you go back to how that high line would work with... various, you know, City or Edison or whoever, he would then be really far out of his goal, right? I'm not saying if he was in goal today, he would be that high because it was too far away from goal. But normally those two work together, don't they? The high line and then the sweeper keeper.
Yep.
They kind of work in tandem. You saw the high line last week and stuff and it worked, but you didn't really see the high keeper and you didn't see it today either. So... Yeah, this is why the football is so... It's not easy to get all this right, as the lads would tell you. Managers, being managers, pulling it all together is not easy.
Lyle Foster on the mark for Burnley against Sunderland in the battle of their two promoted clubs. Brentford won, Aston Villa nil, the Burkina Faso striker, Adanga Ouattara with the goal. Bournemouth won, Wolves nil, Marcus Tavernier with the goal for Bournemouth at the Vitality Stadium. When you were looking at the season, Tim, did you say, I'm a Liverpool, are my team that I think will win the league? Do you think it's going to be City, Arsenal? How did you weigh it up before the start of the season?
It's difficult to look past Liverpool. I think obviously with the whole Diego Jota thing going on, it's probably brought them more together. But you don't know if that's going to have implications further into the season. Has that emotionally taken a lot out of them already? You see Salah last week after getting a couple of goals, he's crying after the game. You don't know how it's going to affect the players going on. But look, I think you have to point to them to be the ones to be beaten first. City again, you think, yeah, they'd be strong, and then they lose 2-0 at home today. I think Arsenal, if Eze gets over the line to Arsenal, I think it gives them a very good attacking options. I still think the centre forward is an issue for them. I know they brought the Gerks or whatever
it is.
I don't know if he's Arsenal's number nine quality. Good player obviously, but I don't know if he's going to shoulder the pressure of a title challenge in the Premier League.
Quite debut against Manchester United last week. What about the Eze stuff? I mean, you know Eze, David Connolly, from your time in football. I mean, look, he just went to the club he loves. He was released from there as a boy. Do Spurs deserve any blame?
I don't know, John. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it, whether they could have got a deal done over the line quicker or not. But I coached Eze, so I know him very well. My first day at work actually coincided with his birthday. And I don't really get anyone a birthday card, but I wrote one to him because I just thought, well, it's something to, you know, get on with the lads. They're, you know, 18, 17, whatever they were. I didn't know, obviously, no one knew what superstar he was going to be, but I'm thrilled for him. And, you know, he is an Arsenal fan. So I agree with Tim. I said this last week. I think they need something else with goals. I think Odegaard's great, but I don't think he gives you the power, the pace, the ability to score from distance. He's a little intricate sort of player. And I think Eze or someone like Acuna, that type, would give Arsenal that. So if it happens, great. And, you know, Eze, you know, no chip on his shoulder. It never worked out anywhere. He's always thanking God or whatever. It's God's will. You know, he did his Achilles and he's come back and looks great. He just looks like such a terrific role model for like kids and modern day footballer. I mean, he just fabulous. So I hope it works out for him, you know, and it'll work well for Palace, I guess, because if they didn't want to sell him, they wouldn't sell him, and they're getting a lot of money for him. So I'm sure they'll reinvest.
Yeah. How has he improved, David, as a...
Well, he's very... Because when he was at Millwall, it was very difficult because... and I'm sure the lads will also tell you this as managers. If you're a first-team manager, you want to play a particular way. And at the time, Millwall was a 4-4-2 club. That's how it had always been brought up, and the club was... That's what the fans wanted. Two up front, you know, and you go and play from there. Get the ball up to the front two and you go off that. For Eze, it's very difficult because he's not necessarily a left winger that's going to get crosses in the box. Millwall didn't really play with a number 10 because it wasn't their style. Now, things have evolved and different managers take over, like Gary Rowett might play a 4-2-3-1 or whatever, but you go back to Millwall days, Kenny Jackett, you know, Neil Harris, that was never the way. It was a 4-4-2. That was it. And let me tell you, if you don't give the Millwall fans what they want, it's very difficult. You know, they want to get it up to the front too. So I think, unfortunately, it just didn't suit Eze, but he had all the attributes, but he probably just wrong place at the wrong time. I don't think physically he's changed. He's still very powerful as what he was, very gifted with both feet. He probably just needed a platform to go and show his talents and someone to believe in him, which... For a large part, he didn't have.
The profile of him. I was obviously in Millwall for a couple of seasons, and then had another few seasons non-league in England. That part of the country has hundreds and thousands of kids exactly like Eze that go down to goals, five-a-sides, and all of them play. And he's the one that all the young kids would look at Palace, and they all play football on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, whatever's in the cages, and he plays like him. He's just creative. I think that's why if he does go to Arsenal and he plays off the left, it'll give them a different dynamic than they've had, and it'll give them that sort of freedom. I think, as you said there, how he's improved. I think it's just, it was the perfect match for him at Palace. I know what you're saying at Millwall. It's very much, look, if he plays and does something that doesn't work, the fans can get on your back there pretty quickly. And it just seemed it was a perfect fit for him at Palace. He reminds you of Wilfred Zaha when he was a kid coming through and whatever else. Like that type of player, there's loads of them in South London. And I love watching them. I think they're so exciting.
I was going to ask you, David, what way do you think Arteta will use him?
I don't know, because I think in a 4-3-3 he can play wide left, or he can play as one as a two attacking mids. I'd play him as an 8 or a 10 personally, but I just wonder whether they don't really think they have enough with Martinelli or whoever's on the left.
And that was one of the surprising things for me in the move. Was I was looking and going, like, I would have thought if I'm Eze, I want the 10. I want the 10 jersey. I want you to trust me as the central fulcrum of everything that you're going to do from an attacking perspective. And even though Odegaard is off it at the moment, I still find it very hard to see Odegaard been dropped and Eze coming into that role on a full-time basis. Whereas the jersey is, I would have thought the jersey is pretty much his at Tottenham. Like, you know, Sarr is going quite well at the moment, in fairness, but Sarr could probably drop down back to an 8 if need be. So I think that 10 position was ready and waiting. Now, look, I'm looking at this through Tottenham tinted glasses.
There, though, yeah. with the changing with Saka, Odegaard himself, and playing all sorts of positions, interchanging throughout the whole game, and a little bit more freedom. And he's probably looked at Arsenal and said, I've got an opportunity to win things. And I don't mean that in a negative towards Spurs, but where they finished in the league last year, the distance that needs to close to the top, he could be the distance to close the gap between Liverpool and Arsenal from last season.
Levy has made an absolute mess of this job. Like, this is just farcical. Let's be honest.
Copy, paste and repeat for the last how many years.
It is farcical.
I'm laughing out loud, but I'm raging inside.
Because he just, like, he's absolutely a parody of himself.
What a surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Cal Surprise.
It's like, how much more Daniel Levy can Daniel Levy become? Like, you know, I'm going to turn up and I'm going to, I'm Daniel Levy, I drive such a hard bargain and I'm going to get the best from this deal and I'm going to try and lowball you and blah, 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 and I'll get it over the line eventually. And then out of nowhere, somebody just comes, does their business properly, bang, it's done, and away you go.
You see, that method has probably run its course with other Premier League clubs. Gibbs White didn't happen, as it hasn't happened, and now they're scrambling around. And also they're doing their business too late to be the smartest person in the room. And if you think you're the smartest person in the room, you know what, you probably are, you're probably not. As great a businessman as he is, as amazing a job as he did with the stadium and all that beautiful stuff, but ultimately it's a football club, not
There's
an entertainment club.
So much
club.
Money as well, John, that it's not just you're competing with one or two clubs. There's probably 10 or 15 clubs that could offer massive deals. And if you don't do your business quickly, you just go on.
Look
at
Liverpool,
one.
All the business they did. Now, whether it's the right business, but ultimately they got their business done, and they probably will do more business if they get Isak.
Yeah. There has to be an acceptance, John, that sometimes you will get a player at a good deal, okay? And I think we've got Polina at a snip, okay? So well done, Daniel Levy. You've got a really good, done really, really well there. Kudos is about on par. I think the transfer fee is about right. You have to accept every now and then that you're going to pay over the odds. That you're going to pay over the odds. That you're, the only way to secure this player is to play him.
And they have
money
done that. And they paid money for players who didn't work out. And Dembele
was
Soldado,
a disaster.
All these players over the years. The Bale money was pretty much, you know, wasn't spent.
Yeah, but there's a difference. For me, there's a difference between I would pay over the odds for a player who has been proven in this league.
Yeah.
Before I'd pay over the odds for Dembele and Soldado and, you know, those kinds of ones. Like, I don't see how Eze misses here, to be honest with you. I don't see how he goes from producing what he's produced in the last couple of years in the Premier League to, what, flopping at Arsenal or flopping at Tottenham had Tottenham signed him. So go and pay the extra that you have to pay and just get the thing done. Like,
you know, I would definitely question if there's a lack of understanding about how football is run and how to run a football element of a club as opposed to the business element of a club. Just on how football clubs are run, David Connolly, your old club West Ham, they're in a spot of bother. Hammered by Chelsea, what, 5-1 last night? It just looks pretty bleak. They were defensively shocking. They've hardly signed anybody. I always just kind of feel with West Ham, like, David Moyes did a great job there, I thought, but the grass is always greener, and I think they're in a spot of bother now. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do, yeah. you know, the West Ham fans, you know, have not been happy for a little while, and Geez, I don't know where to start. I mean, Mikel Antonio is still there, right? He plays, they're rehabilitating him and he's in the reserves.
He's still there, David. I thought he was gone. Assumed he was gone. He's still there, is he?
Yeah, he played for the under-21s two nights ago. So they're just helping him recover. He's not under contract. But the point being, like, they've let Soufal go. I know Antonio's gone. They've let some big sort of personalities go from the dressing room. And you've got Jared Bowen there. You've got James Ward-Prowse. And then, you know, other than that, well, I don't know about who's going to kind of get him out of this sticky patch. You know, they did get beat last year, similar sort of scoreline, but I think it was 3-0 at home by Chelsea. So I think they always find it tough against Chelsea. But I guess they got probably a bit lucky with a goal, because I think Sanchez could have done better. I don't know why he went like with his right hand, his left. So that maybe gave them a full sense of where they are. And after that, they were just kind of blown away. Set pieces, the goalkeeper just pretty weak every time the ball came in the box. And I don't know, they looked like the back three, they were kind of all over the place, to be honest. I don't know if that suits Wan-Bissaka. Maybe he might be better as a wing back. I don't know. It very, very difficult, John. And he kind of looks like he doesn't really know the answer at the minute. So, you know, he's brought a couple of free transfers in there. I think they'll do okay. But, I mean,
Callum Wilson, David. Surely Callum Wilson still has enough.
Can I just interrupt? Because I always say with the scores, folks, they are subject to VAR, and that Burnley goal has been chalked off. So it's Burnley 0, Sunderland 0, Brentford 1, Villa 0, and Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0.
Callum Wilson, sure. I mean, it's only 18 months since Callum Wilson and Alexander Isak were rotating at centre forward for Newcastle. They were, you know, they were on a par with each other. Surely he has enough quality that he should still be one that if he starts every week at nine for West Ham, he should be able to get a few goals for them, surely.
Well, yeah, the only thing I'd say, probably West Ham fans might say, well, what's the difference between him and Mikel Antonio? Because, you know, Mikel is obviously, and I played with Mikel coming through at Southampton. He was a winger. He probably a bit like Eze. A lot of people didn't believe in him and he had to get going. Look, he's their record goal scorer in the Premier League. I mean, Callum's had a lot of injuries as well. Like, he's had a lot of injuries. Doesn't really know the club. Now, it looks very, very bleak. I've got to be honest. And what the issue they've got that makes it bleaker is where they play. And people say, well, it doesn't matter because they would win trophies playing at the London Stadium, whatever. But that's when things are going well. When things are not going well, the place is a disaster.
Yeah,
it's a disaster. So they're probably missing a bit of pace. They're missing from their best team from, 2022, 2023, probably a bit of pace, a bit of guile they're missing. And, yeah, it looks very bleak at the minute.
Yeah, 6 is where Moyes got them to, and they won the Conference League first trophy since 1980.
Super manager, right? I keep saying it.
West Ham always think the grass is greener. Yeah. It's not.
But I've been going back for years. Remember Alan Pardew left Charlton, and then they went down, Alan Kirbishley, and then he went down. Tony Pulis more or less ran out of Stoke because of the style of play, and then they were gone from the Premier Division, and West Ham probably expected more from David Moyes, how he played, but he was successful, and now look at them.
And then they brought in Lopetegui, didn't work out. Potter's only won 5 of 20 league games.
I think he's got their worst. I think, John, sorry to interrupt, he's got their worst points, I think. Yeah. Even worse than Avram Grant, I think. And there's lots of stories about Avram Grant that I think he'd be asleep in the dress, like in his office and stuff. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, doesn't bode well is a worry.
Set pieces, David. Must have conceded 3 last night from set pieces, did they?
And that's where, you know, Hermansson, it's a lot of money. I think between him and Max Kilman, there's like 60 odd million spent on them. And every time the ball came in the box, I mean, he flapped at everything. So very, 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 very difficult times. Yeah, difficult times.
What about Chelsea then? Estevao caught the eye. He's only 18 years of age, David, the Brazilian.
Yeah, he looked like, you know, I think the West Ham goal ball came up to him, he kind of bounced off him a little bit. But other than that, he looked really, really bright. They look very strong, don't they? They look very, very strong, defensively tight. I thought they might be a bit lackluster after the Club World Cup. But, I mean, geez, they look really, really good at the minute. So they're sort of good team, very good team at the moment.
What about the signings they made? Jao Pedro did well last night. David?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jao Pedro is an excellent signing. He did well in that. They got him in for the Club World Cup, didn't they? And he got kind of cracking on that. Jeez, he's everyone thought Liam Delap, probably he thought he was going to be playing every week, but it looks like now it's Jao Pedro, and, you know, he's got a little bit of everything. So another excellent signing, yeah.
And interestingly, did they go with the two of them last night?
Pedro was kind of behind
Initially, Pedro was to play off the left. Cole Palmer, I think, would have been in the 10. Pedro would have been playing off the left. And then, obviously, Cole Palmer got injured in the warm-up and had to be pulled out, which meant Jao Pedro moved a little bit more central, which is going to give the manager the usual story, a good headache in that, you know, How does he get the most out of, like, Delap? Probably, even though he didn't score, he probably did enough to say, I should be staying in the team here. So how does he get Jao Pedro, Cole Palmer and Delap all into the one team and trying to get the most out of all three? And Estevo, by the way, who, as you say, looked absolutely electric.
Well, Palmer had an injury in the warm-up, didn't he? So he wasn't involved from the outset last night. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0, Brentford 1, Villa 0, and Burnley 0, Sunderland 0 in 3 o'clock games in the Premier League. Manchester City 0, Spurs 2, a result from earlier, shock. Arsenal leads, has got a 5:30 start. What is going on? Coventry, they lead QPR by 4-0. That's pretty mad.
Is that 3 o'clock kickoff?
Yeah, that's pretty mad.
That's impressive. That's Frank Lampard effect.
Yeah, Frank Lampard's Coventry. yeah. Birmingham 0, Oxford 0, Norwich 0, Middlesbrough 0, Preston 1, Ipswich 0, Sheffield United 0, Millwall 0, Southampton and Stoke are goalless, West Brom 1, Portsmouth 0, and Wrexham 2, Sheffield Wednesday 0. In Scotland, Celtic are goalless with Livingston, Hearts 0, Motherwell 1, and Kilmarnock 0, Dundee 0. We've got David Connolly on the line from London, ex-Republic of Ireland striker, and two former League of Ireland managers, Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy, in studio on Football Saturday. If you want to get in touch with a comment or a question, love to hear from you. 087-9180-180. That is 087-9180-180 is our WhatsApp number. We're back after this.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+, gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk. Talking History.
This Sunday on Talking History, we're debating the life, death and legacy of Thomas More, the patron saint of politicians and statesmen.
Talking History with Patrick Gagan.
This Sunday at 7 p.m.
on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Real savings are adding up with Super Value. Pick up 12 bottle boxes like Budweiser and Corona, perfect for the good weather, from €14. Treat yourself to a red or white wine, €8 each. Or enjoy our Wine of the Month, Villa Maria Blush Sauvignon Blanc, only €10, giving you more change in your pocket. Super Value. Real savings, real difference. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
Digital audio is anything heard through a connected device, and in Ireland, it's big. Over 1 million people listen every week. Audio XI is Ireland's largest digital audio exchange, and we can help your brand reach 3.2 million engaged listeners monthly. Elevate your marketing strategy with targeted digital audio ads across radio, podcast, and music streams. Choose Audio XI for impactful and effective advertising. Visit audioxi.com to get started.
Switching to an Energia smart plan really could mean lower energy bills for future you. Not only will you save up to 31%, but you'll also get energy insights to help you manage your usage and make smarter energy choices. Something future you will always thank you for. Switch now at energia.ie or call us on 0818 300 701. And remember, you'll always get the best deals when you come to us direct. Energia. Think of the possibilities. 1 year fixed term smart data plan. EAB €1,192 includes 31% saving on standard unit rates and subject to change. Valid from August 25. Standing charge PSO levy and termination fee apply. Details and full T's and C's at energia.ie.
Over 60 years ago, the credit union was created not for profit, but for better reasons. For living, for homes, for futures. The credit union, for you, not profit. Credit unions in the Republic of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Summer's calling, and afford- affordable adventures are waiting at gobreaks.ie. Book a bargain B&B escape from our huge selection of 3, 4 and 5-star hotels around Ireland. Embrace the buzz of a city break, or kick back, relax and recharge with a countryside hideaway or coastal escape. Make huge savings this summer and go experience, go explore with GoBreaks, as recommended by Newstalk. GoBreaks. T's and C's at GoBreaks.ie.
It may not be happening in our country. It may not be our crisis, our hunger, but our history, our scars, our sense of justice reminds us at Concern Worldwide that extreme poverty, wherever it is our concern. Visit concern.net.
Heading off to college? At Harvey Norman, get all the tech you need for the new term. Experience the magic of Google AI with the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Plus laptop and its built-in AI tools that help you write, summarize complex topics, and more. It takes your productivity to the next level. Plus, with its Intel Core i5 processor, enjoy fast performance for smooth multitasking, streaming, and assignments for $799. And with our best price guarantee, why shop anywhere else? Harvey Norman, off to college.
Bill?
Yes?
Can you throw my green dress in the bin?
Are you sure?
Yep.
It's not that bad, love. And when your sister said you looked like a courgette, I'm sure she meant it in a cute way.
Bill.
We could at least donate it. There must be someone who could get good use out of it. Maybe turn it into a pair of curtains.
I said put it in the laundry bin, Bill.
Oh, right.
Not hearing the whole conversation? Book a free hearing check with one of our experts at Specsavers. Terms and conditions apply.
I've always loved courgettes.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
This is Football Saturday. John Duggan with you through to five. Ex-League of Ireland bosses Tim Clancy and Shane Keegan are in studio. We got David Connolly, former Republic of Ireland striker, on the line from London. And we have Premier League games ongoing. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0. Marcus Tavernier coming up to half-time with the goal. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 0. The new signing, Dango Ouattara, on the goal for Brentford. Keith Andrews, Brentford. Goal is between Burnley and Sunderland. Interesting to see that Stephen Rice has now joined Burnley and the coaching staff there.
Brentford.
Brentford. Yeah. Brentford, I apologise. I knew it was Brentford. I was just mentioning the Burnley score.
Well, yeah, I know Rice. Yeah, look, I played with him underage international, and he'd done very well in the League of Ireland. And since then, I think his presentation on the pro license got a lot of attention. So his attention to detail and his opposition analysis work. He's obviously worked in with Stephen in the senior setup, and then he was in the 21s as well. And Keith would have worked with him previously. So I think the relationship and he knows the work that Rice does has ended up bringing him into the Premier League, which is. It's brilliant to see two Irish people then involved at right at the top level at an English Premier League club.
And you would have said the set piece coach was a somewhat peripheral role until we see what's done from Keith Andrews. But yeah, no, I would have managed against Royce when he was at Longford when I was coming in at first. Had him on a podcast I was doing as well for a while. He was on as a guest with me. Just yeah, like Tim says, real attention to detail, and he's obviously impressing people in the right way. And look, football is half about doing a good job and half about knowing the right people, and obviously he's doing both there. He's doing his job right, but having that connection with Keith has been a big help to him. Quite a lot of turnover in that 21.
Oh, they scored again. Brentford 2, Aston Villa 0, and Mikel Damsgaard with the goal. Back in the team.
Happy days.
It is a set piece. It's a long throw in. So
the other lad, Emi Martinez, lying on the ground, not happy.
It's a great finish.
This is huge for them, John, because I know it's mad to think two games into a season that a manager...
Well, they were so passive last week.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
There will be a VAR check here, I think.
Will there, yeah. No, just on Ricer, it's just brilliant to see another Irish. I think we spoke maybe 2 weeks ago, John, about the amount, or maybe I think it was Shane presenting, we spoke about the amount of Irish people involved at managerial level now this year across the divisions in England. It's brilliant. You know, you go back a year or two and you'd had nobody to keep an eye on. What do you say, Barry Murphy as Cardiff?
Barry Murphy at Cardiff. He's five games in and he's 1-4 and drawn 1.
Oh, we're just watching this back.
There's no foul there.
The keeper has to just be stronger. Brilliant finish. Brilliant finish. So yeah, listen, the more Irish players...
Colin Sledge is in, does he? Oh, he'll probably get that as a free out.
What?
Emi Martinez back in the Villa team today.
Oh, no, I'd be raging if this was this loud. No, I don't think Nathan Collins does a whole lot that wrong here.
I think you give it. It's very little in it, but I think the way VAR goes, I think he'll probably, Nathan Collins is sort of hipped into the keeper.
If I'm Keith Andrews there, I'm arguing that he's run into my bum. You're right, though.
Yeah.
You're right, though.
Yeah, goal is disallowed. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 0. But Brentford positive in this first half. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0, and Burnley 0, Sunderland 0. Just have to say, folks, it's always, unfortunately, in this new world we live in with this nonsense thing, in my view, we gotta say that the scores are generally right, but not always 100% right because of AR.
As we approach half time here, John, are we going to get a Keith Andrews half time interview?
You don't like them.
Oh.
Does anybody like these?
And here, wait, here's the irony, right? So I saw it on the Arsenal United game, obviously with Odegaard, you know, and I was saying this is farcical, and I had debate with somebody. I was talking to somebody about it, and he was saying, "Oh, it's brilliant for the content and all that," and he gave some real insight, and you know, he made this point and this point. And I was saying, "Yeah, but those points that he's making, he should be making to his teammates in his dressing room, not to Sky Sports on TV when the rest of his teammates are in the dressing room waiting for him to come in." And that led me to talking about, I don't think you were. I'm trying to think, were you managing? There was a year in the League of Ireland I was managing Galway, where they brought in
on the sideline.
The game was going on, John. Like, I was managing Galway. We're playing Stephen Kenny's Dundalk, and we're 20 minutes into the game, and Tony O'Donoghue sticks a microphone under my face and looks for my thoughts on the game 25 minutes into the game. And I was like, oh my God, this is... I don't think that even lasted the whole season.
No. Yeah,
I think the manager's revolted.
And Tony's probably just told to do it.
Oh, I was not having to go to Tony at all. It was just a mad scenario that you're literally... The game is... There wasn't even an injury. The game is in full flow. And
should have gone full Mike Bassett. You should have gone full Mike Bassett and just started chewing gum and going, yeah.
But I think even in that, John, managers were watching the game and they weren't answering the question. One second.
Exactly.
And then they were going 10 seconds and they're saying,
absolute gimmickry. David Connolly, I'm sure you would have been hated to be asked something at halftime in a game, surely, wouldn't you?
Americanized has been like.
It is kind of, I agree, Tim. It does seem very Americanized. I guess it's just lip service, right? You got to do it. So all you'll get now is a generic kind of lip service, like you know, the probably players will start repeating the same words for a laugh or whatever, they, you know, and they won't take it seriously, because if you're a player, certainly you couldn't give two monkeys about doing interviews anyway, certainly not at half time.
No. That said, the best ever half time was Geta Games, Gerlach Nann in 1995, when he said the Clare were going to do it when the All Ireland are for 81 years, and they did.
Well, here's the irony in the whole thing, John. So I see Odegaard doing it last week, and then I'm giving out about it and thinking back to the Tony O'Donoghue days. I'm managing a team live on TG Cahir tomorrow and have been told I have to give a halftime interview.
Irish?
As one person said to me, I have never refused a microphone before, but I'll be... if they're looking for a couple of fuckle tomorrow, I'm in bother now, so no, it'll be in English. But just again...
Gahanna Waterford.
J.K.
Brackens is the club, isn't it?
Yeah, we're playing Loughmore Class 90 in the Tip Championship, and it's on TG Cahir tomorrow, and I just got the agenda through during the week from our secretary, and here I see halftime interview, it genuinely messes with our routine. Like, I have to tweak our halftime routine now tomorrow, because I'll have lost, as soon as the whistle goes, I've got stats people to talk to, I've got the rest of my management team to talk to. I like to give the players, you might do the same, I always like to give the players the first 5 minutes without me in the dressing room to let them have their own conversation. So all of those, even though it might only be 2 minutes, it literally, you know, pushes every... where am I chopping those 2 minutes from if I have to give 2 minutes to an interview at halftime in TG Cahir? You know, like, it might sound petty, but it's not. It's a very compressed period of time. I think you guys have had your man Eamon Devlin on. I think I listened to him there one of the days. He's this specialist in halftime team talks at the moment, who's doing really well. He's worked with Ancelotti. He's gone over to work with Ancelotti with Brazil. Literally just specialising in halftime. We spoke about the Irish 21s there. I spoke with Jim Crawford recently. We were at an event together. He said he's had him in. With him assessing how he does his halftime talk and the whole lot. And you get to a point where, if you're operating at any kind of decent level, that you do have this plan to down to the minute. So to have to adjust that whole halftime because you're waiting on one of your players to return, or because you as the manager have to go and give an interview, it does play with things, like, you know. I just think it's so gimmicky, you know, but we'll soak it up tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we'll have to tape that now, Shane, just make sure you... Alex Ferguson, remember, was on the pitch in the 80s in the Scottish Cup and absolutely...
ripped Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Remember after that? That was mental.
In the cup final.
That was crazy.
I'm not accepting that. You're 2-0. That was disgraceful and all. All right.
Yeah. So these things, this is your moment now to...
It'll be good as well. Like, I can't wait for the moment where the interview player at halftime goes, yeah, look, just a few little changes and we should be okay. And he gets whipped off then. he doesn't appear for the second half. That's what I'm waiting for.
Or a few swear words, because I won't be able to cut it. So it'll be better.
But you don't, like, see when you're analysing after, straight after a game, microphones, you forget half the things that happen in the game. It's not until you might go, yeah, the goal, like, I remember it was this pass, and then you go, there was 10 seconds between actually that moment where you might have lost the ball and you think it's a direct pass to goal. And it's very hard to analyse it clearly when you haven't seen it back and watched it back. And you, as Shane said, you haven't had that little minute or two to debrief. And it's a little bit different than when you watch it. Like,
I think the best interview would be, and the lads will know this, because they say, you know, all these team talks at the end of the game, as a manager, come in, don't say anything, let the players breathe for a minute or two, don't fly off the handle. The best interview would be immediately at the end of the game, if you lost the game, going up to the manager and he's got to tell you what he thinks right there and then. Now, that would give you something. That might be a bit of box office.
If they had got Kevin Doherty last night in the Sullivan and Lamb Park, when the keeper in the 94th minute caught the ball and then threw it out early to his fullback and he got dispossessed, lost the corner, and then they scored. I think Kev would be struggling to still get a job if they had to put a microphone in front of him then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that might be worth something, right? Yeah. Rather than the token, you're not going to get anything from the halftime or, you know, that. Yeah.
Generic answers.
Yeah, I actually purposely went for that emotional response one time, David. Now, I did get a bit of stick online as it being my Kevin Keegan moment after it, but I remember being so annoyed that I didn't want to calm down. And I can't remember who the RTE interviewer was, but I actually gave them a shout and says, can we do this straight away? I want to do this straight away while this is still fresh in my mind. And went on a complete rant about Anthony Buttermer, who I now get on quite well with, and we kind of laugh about the moment, really, so we do. But, you know, I didn't want him to interview me in 10 minutes' time when I'd calm down. I wanted him to interview me now when I was raging with what had happened.
I did that one as well, and I got a 4-game ban, so I don't think it's a good idea.
I just have visions of Brendan Venter. Remember the rugby interview when he did the Mike Bassett. Very good. Okay, halftime. Burnley 0, Sunderland 0 in the battle of the promoted clubs in the Premier League. Halftime, Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0. Wolves in trouble, a bit like West Ham. Marcus Tavernier at the Vitality Stadium still playing. 7 minutes stoppage time. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 0 in London, and Dango Tarr with the goal. Brentford thought they had a second, but it was ruled out for an infringement. Half-times in all the 3 o'clock games in the Championship. Birmingham 1, Oxford 0. Coventry 5, QPR 0. That's some score. Norwich 0, Middlesbrough 2. Preston 1, Ipswich 0. Sheffield United 0, Millwall 1. Southampton 0, Stoke 0. West Brom 1, Portsmouth 0. A fantastic goal by Mikey Johnston, Republic of Ireland international. And Wrexham 2, Sheffield Wednesday 0. In Scotland, Celtic 0, Livingston 0. Not been a great week so far, is it? Hearts 0, Motherwell 1, and Kilmarnock 0, Dundee 0. Sack of the board, they were singing the other night, Tim.
Yeah, look, I think we spoke previously about the Spurs one there. I think Celtic did push the boat out. I think they spent $9 million on Adameda last year. Obviously, for the Scottish Premier League, it's a big output. They brought Engels in for $11 million, and maybe they haven't been as good as what the Celtic board would have hoped. But you lose Kyogo, then they sell Kyogo in January to Rennes, who's scoring all their goals. Kuhn leaves, and then Jota does his cruciate. So they've taken out more or less the front three who were contributing to a lot of goals. And now when you look at Celtic, they're dominating possession, but there's very few chances that they're actually creating now. All of it seems to be in front of the opposition. And as a Celtic fan, I'd watch them nearly every week. I think it's worrying times. I think Brendan Rodgers is now sort of being blunt in his interviews as well, saying about the board not getting players in. It's not his decision.
Is it his fault in any way?
Well, they can turn around and say that Engels and maybe Adameda hasn't worked for the output, but then they can't have it both ways. They made fortunes on other players that they brought in, going back to Van Dijk and even Kuhn. They brought in for $2 million and sold him for $20 million, and Van Dijk was similar, where he made $20 million in the end out of him and a few other players. So, like, you can't always get everyone right. last year in the Champions League, I think they surprised a few teams. They got a hiding over in Dortmund, but then they changed after that and got a few good results. I'd fear for them if they do get past this team in Kazakhstan next week. I think it's Kazakhstan they're out in.
It is.
But it's right on the Chinese border as well. And I think if they do get past them, I think they could be getting a few hidings in Europe again this year if they don't get players in.
Kairat, yeah. Finn Azaz, by the way, got the first Middlesbrough goal at Norwich, 2-0 up at halftime. So Azaz and Johnston on the mark in the Championship today. That's positive. We're going to talk about Ireland after four. We've got Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy, ex-League of Ireland managers, in the studio. And on the line from London, David Connolly, former Republic of Ireland striker. Football Saturday. Folks, if you want to get in touch with a comment or question, surely you've got something on your mind. 0879-180-180 is our WhatsApp number. 0879-180-180. This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. Look forward to having your company between 4 and 5.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
This is Off the Ball Saturday, folks. John Duggan with you on News Talk till 5 in the company on Football Saturday in studio of Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy, both League of Ireland managers. Of the past, maybe the future. And then on the line from London, the ex-Republic of Ireland striker David Connolly. If you want to WhatsApp us, you can, 0879-180-180. In the Premier League, at half times, Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0, Brentford 1, Villa 0, and Burnley 0, Sunderland 0. Spurs were 2-0 winners away to Manchester City earlier. Arsenal and Leeds got a 5:30 kickoff. Just also in the Women's National League, Dealer Waves 4, Waterford 1 at the moment at the start of the second half. Just some other sports news today. Ethical Diamond, Willie Mullins has won the Ebor Handicap at York, 5-1 favourite. A big win for Willie Mullins in that race. Ascending was second, Queenstown was third, and Stress Free was fourth. So 1-2-3 for Ireland in that race. But William Buick riding William Mullins, Ethical Diamond, to win. The group won there as well. The City of York Stakes went to Never So Brave at odds of 7-2. At the Curragh, a couple of Group 2s. The Futurity Stakes has gone to Constitution Road, the 6-5 on favourite. The 6-5 on favourite. And the Debutant Stakes just about to go to post at the Curragh. Also today, from a Cork hurling perspective, Pat Ryan has stepped down after 3 years in charge, led them to 2 All-Ireland finals and also the Munster title, the league title, and 2 under-20 All-Irelands before that. But a new hurling manager at senior level now that Cork are looking for. That's what's going on around the houses in sport. Big win for Australia over Samoa at the Women's Rugby World Cup. That was earlier on today, 73-0. In Pool B at the moment, it's Scotland 24, Wales 8. After 54 minutes, remember, Ireland play Japan at noon tomorrow. British Masters, Matt Fitzpatrick leads at the Belfry on 12 under par in round 3, a shot ahead of Alex Noren. I suppose the Irish angle out of this one is that Rasmus Højgo is in a tie for 14th on 7 under. If he's in the top 29, he knocks out Shane Lowry from the automatic places for Ryder Cup qualification. Lowry's playing at the Tour Championship this week, but Lowry surely will be one of Luke Donald's 6 wild cards, one would expect. David Connolly, it's a mad situation in Nottingham Forest. Nuno just taking out the submachine gun in metaphorical terms on his relationship with Mr. Marinakis, the owner of Nottingham Forest. It doesn't seem to me that there's any way back. Maybe there is, but it looks like Nuno might not be the Forest manager for too long.
No, and that's a real shame because what a job he's done. I don't know if it's with Marinakis or with... who knows? I mean... you know, considering how well they, well, what a great season they had last season, and obviously the start they made last week where they were just absolutely fabulous. You know, if you're a Forest fan, you'd be absolutely, you'd be really, really worried. Make no mistake. So, I think it's really difficult. You look at a lot of managers that maybe, I don't know if it is a sporting director. I don't know if it is Edu, but I think that relationship, and the lads will know, managing up as well as managing down, you know, they say managing up to the sporting director and then, you know, to the owner. There's the different managers have different ways of working, right? I mean, some managers can't get to the owner they go via the sporting director and the sporting director then relays or whatever. But you see Mariakis on the pitch and stuff. So I imagine Nuno probably does go direct to Mariakis, but now there's Edu there. That's the buffer. And maybe that's the issue. I don't know, but it'd be a real shame because what a job he's done.
I think if you look last season, wasn't he on the pitch waving his arms and
wasn't happy at the end of the season. But they have invested heavily in the squad.
Yeah,
again, Ndoye, Hutchinson, and
I think Nuno's come out and said what he
James
said
McAtee.
After a 3-0 win is sort of saying, look, it's not because we're losing here. This situation, saying the relationship is strained with the owner or whatever it was. It's similar to what Guardiola was doing when he was coaching players and reminiscing and waving the hands and shouting on the pitch. And I know a lot of people were saying, just wait till you get into the tunnel. I don't see why the owner of the club went down onto the football pitch and sort of told him off like he was a little child. And I think if you start doing that, I think Nuno's probably said to himself, I want to get out of here as soon as I can.
Yeah, you don't want to know who these owners are. Like, that's probably the biggest, not knowing who the important people, like, you don't see anybody from the ownership at Liverpool on the pitch or, involved in any kind of controversies. And that's the biggest compliment you can pay them. You don't want to know these people. Just stay in the background and do your job off the pitch and let the manager and the players do their job on the
pitch. Is it Richard Hughes? Let him do the job. Or is it Michael Edwards, is it?
At Liverpool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so,
Guru, the transfer guru.
Yeah, you just, like, it's, I suppose, similar to what they say in the FAI, that you probably don't know who the IRFU CEO is or things like that, but we seem to constantly know who the FAI big names are. It's as you say, it's an awful shame because he's done an absolutely outstanding job last season. I said it here, I 100% would have tipped Forest for relegation last year. So while it might have been disappointing for them, the manner in which the last month or so played out, it was still an incredible overachievement. Absolutely massive overachievement. And look, Nuno's an ex-Spurs manager. Things didn't go well from there.
But was a good Wolves manager. Got them to seventh, twice.
Spurs can bring the best of managers down a level or two.
And the moment he did it was the last game of the season when the players are doing, walking around the pitch, they're taking their plaudits from the fans for a fantastic season. And then the manager's in the centre circle getting told off like he's a five-year-old kid. It's probably left a bitter feeling. Now, as you said, though, they have backed them over the summer. But it obviously hasn't got any better, the relationship, that they win 3-0 the open day of the season. He says, look, I don't have a good relationship with this fella.
But if he moves him on, Tim, like, what?
Who goes in?
Who does he go and get?
And Postecoglou.
But is Ange not going to look?
Jose Mourinho.
Jose probably would fancy. He's probably abrasive enough that he'd actually fancy a relationship like that with an owner, where the two of them do just hop off each other on a regular basis. But I think a lot of managers would just look and go, meh, that guy, I don't know.
Until he put the contract on the table, Shane, I think there's plenty then would
money
say,
can help you come
Tim
on,
Clancy over to the City Ground next week.
City Ground.
Listen, I got abused for very little money, so I don't mind a few zeros out of that take the abuse again, but no.
They've got the best kit in the league as well. A nice training kit. Was that a big thing as a League of Ireland managers, like wearing these kind of like training tops and like,
big thing for the players. I would have said, after I learnt the hard way after the first year, like when the club just went off and ordered roll stuff, and then they had players whinging and moaning about that they didn't like the design, or they didn't like this or they didn't like that. So from one of the first things I would have said at any club I was in after that, then, when you're organising the coming season's kit and that, come to me and I'll tell you who the 3 or 4 man leadership group is within the club, and go and sit down with them and agree on something that you like and that they like and that's within the budget and that kind of stuff.
But did you have an SK top, a Dundalk friend like that?
Actually, probably do.
I think they do that out of just so they know who it is.
it's not an ego thing.
Oh, no. I tried to get as big a top as I could, and the players were trying to get as small as they could so they looked fit and all. I was trying to get something to cover me
Tim will tell you, John, I don't know, have I bought casual wear in 10 years, because you get much of this stuff thrown at you.
My young lad was playing today and I had a Cork City top on me on the sideline. So there you go, because it was cold and it was in the boot of the car. So I started there with a Cork City top from this season on.
So you've got Drogheda, Cork, Pat stuff in the
Pat
wardrobe.
Stuff, yeah. Yeah, everywhere.
Piles up, and then because I don't know, were your kids picking up any yet? My young lad would pick up all the gear from wherever I was as well, so he still walks around the place in Cove Ramblers kit and all of that kind of stuff.
I always thought it was an ego thing with the initials.
No, the kit man will do that, so
he has just the gear to keep the gear.
Each staff member. He can turn around then and say, look, you've got your 5 or 6 tops, anymore.
If you lose your top, your easiest solution for you is to rob my top, but you can't rob my top if my top has SK on it. So that's kind of how the reasons behind all that.
David Connolly, did you go around? I mean, I think you play for about 12 clubs. You must have a big wardrobe.
Yeah, none of it would fit me though, because obviously I'm pretty small, and you would never get something the right size. It must have been cheaper to do a bulk order, you know, everything XL. So yeah, nothing seemed to, you know, I've got stuff that's like, you know, I think it's like a tablecloth is so big. They're massive, you know. So, you know, Irish kit, like the training kit would always be huge on me. The bottom's baggy as anything. But yeah, I mean, as the lads say, you would certainly, when you're on the staff, you mark it up so you know whose is whose. And, you know, that, like you say, the lads would want things that fit, but very, very rarely were you able to get it. And those lads that are pushing on a little bit, getting a bit older, they wouldn't want stuff that was too tight. They would want stuff with a bit of give in, you know.
Did you swap any jerseys with anybody? Were you into that at all, David?
I would swap jerseys with lads that I knew, probably more so than seeking like lads out. So, you know, I swapped with Dennis Irwin when I was playing in Holland and we played Man United, because you know, obviously I'd want to swap with Dennis Irwin. So, like, they're the sort of lads you would swap with. But I got to admit, I don't have anything in my house. I don't have one thing up anywhere. Okay. Not one shred of football anywhere. Not one jersey. Not one trophy. Not nothing. So you wouldn't know.
Big goal from an Irish perspective. Josh Cullen for Burnley against Sunderland, 1-0. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0. Wolves down to 10 players sending off there. Totti is gone. And also 1-0 for Brentford. All the home teams winning in the 3 o'clock games against Aston Villa. Just some scores in the 3 o'clock matches in the Championship. Now, Coventry 6, QPR 0. And it is Birmingham 1, Oxford 0. Norwich 0, Middlesbrough 2, Finnazaz among the scorers. Preston 1, Ipswich 0. Sheffield United 0, Millwall 1. Southampton and Stoke are goalless. West Brom an equaliser for Portsmouth in that game. West Brom 1, Portsmouth 1. Mikey Johnston scoring for West Brom. Wrexham 2, Sheffield Wednesday 0. And in the Women's National League, Dealer Waves 4, Waterford 2. In Scotland, Celtic are 1-0 up against Livingston. Now they've scored Celtic in this match at Parkhead. So you're watching something there?
I spent our halftime. We were just watching the tackle there, but no, I spent our last advertisement break there just watching the Finnazaz and Mikey Johnson goals. Yeah. Good goals. Finnazaz did very well. Mike took slight deflection. Mikey Johnson's is an absolute cracker. A super finish. Two guys who Finnazaz in particular, I thought, was the shining light in the Irish team.
He's going to be our number 10 in the Hungary game, is he?
I think so. Now the problem is. A really good problem. We've a bit of an embarrassment of riches in and around that area. Like, how do you get Finnazaz, Troy Parrott, Evan Ferguson into the same? Smodics, you probably can't get McBenny. All three. Smodics, McBenny, yeah, it's probably 4 from 5 there. Evan Ferguson's big kickoff is tonight.
Against Bologna.
Yeah. If anybody dares want to text John Inman, if anybody can tell me what station to tune into, non illegal streams, of course, to watch Evan Ferguson's debut tonight, I would be very interested in watching that. The one man who obviously can't be left out at the moment is Troy Parrott, who's just in
10 goals in 7 games. He's scored in every single game this season for AZ Alkmaar. Every single game.
Yeah, I think I saw something up the other day that he's broken some kind of a record there. So he has flying, John. And I mean, the one, not critique, but the one thing he might have said last year was, you know, heavy on the penalty front, let's say. I think it's only been a couple of penalties included in this run. So he's banging them in from open play as well. He's really, really, really kicking on for a fella who, let's be honest, it looked for a while like the career was only going in one direction, and it was the direction we didn't want it to go in.
Yeah, but I think if you look at that as well, it's the type of football. Like, Troy's not a big, huge, athletic specimen like Ogbene or whoever else. So I think going over to where he is and banging the goals in, look, I'd imagine if he has the season, continues the way it is now, I'd think one of the big boys over there might turn around and say, listen, we'll take you. And then I'd say probably Jack Byrne is sitting there saying, when he was a young lad, 18, 19, over there, doing brilliantly, he probably would say, maybe if I had stayed over there, it's a completely different career path than the UK one.
But would he be tempted if he got an offer back here? Would he be tempted to come back?
Financially, it's going to be.
Yeah,
it's the biggest thing.
Yeah, well, David Connolly knows he played in the Netherlands with Feyenoord. Troy Parrish, can you leave him out of the Hungary game, David?
No, well, I don't think so. No, I mean, like the lads are saying, and Shane is saying, I think sometimes that's why it's good for strikers to be on penalties, because it just keeps you ticking over, right? And you know, maybe last season he did very, very well, and some of the extra penalty goals helped him tick over. But I think Troy's got that intelligence as a person and a player that he would really suit over there. And, you know, it would be testing him, like his intelligence playing that role. And he's doing, like, I mean, AZ Alkmaar is a really, really good club. If anyone don't know, I think their academy is, I think it's voted like the best in the world or something like that. I mean, it's always up there with players that they produce and get in the team, and it's got a really, really good stadium. Louis van Gaal used to be the manager. I'm not going to bore you with it, but we all know that, you know, they got into Europe and, you know, they're in Europe now. But yeah, it's a really, really, what I'm getting at is it's a good setup, a really good setup, you know. So, and it just shows you don't have to sort of like, you know, except if things aren't working out at Tottenham. You know, I think Mourinho was there. I remember going to a game, they were hammering Burnley. I was working on it. And I think Troy got like 5 minutes at the end. And I think you just know for some of these players coming through that it's not quite for them, that club. And the good thing is, you know, don't be down, you know, despondent or whatever. Going out, he had a loan, he had a really good loan. And then bang, a move comes off that. And he went out of his comfort zone. Because I've got to tell you, a lot of Tottenham players, academy players, they will go to the same clubs in England because the academy manager at Tottenham will know, you know, the manager at, I don't know, Barnet or the manager at wherever. And a lot of them will bounce around, you know, and they'll have their places and they'll talk to a manager and he'll suit you well and he'll do well for you here. And he went out of his comfort zone and, you know, fair play to him. And he's reaping the reward. So I'm really pleased for him. It's great to see.
How are we looking at this? Is the midfield issues, the defensive midfield, is that a worry?
Yeah, I thought, again, maybe green-tinted glasses, but I thought the one Burnley player who did come out of last week's game with credit was Josh Cullen.
Who scored now today?
Yeah.
1-0 the lead.
Yeah, which is, because that obviously isn't a part of his game that we'd normally associate with him. I'd be interested to see how he ended up, how he even ended up in the kind of position that gets you on the score sheet, because he's normally so conservative with his positioning. You know, when Josh Cullen came through at the start, John, I had massive, massive high hopes for him. I just saw so much of a Roy Keane in him. He would constantly look for the ball. He was constantly in out. I thought his position and his tackling was excellent. And then for whatever reason, the form dipped dramatically, didn't it? And he kind of, you know, he looked, again, like a fellow whose career was only going in one direction. But I don't know, I think that's turning, John. I do think that's turning. He's, you know, going back down to the Championship, giving him a chance to rebuild and become, you know, one of the best players at that level again last year and have another crack at the Premier League. I think he might be better equipped for a go at the Premier League this year. Now, I do think Burnley are going to have it tough, but I'd love to think that he can step up and handle the Premier League better this time around, and by doing so be a better and more effective player for Ireland when he comes back in with an Irish jersey on him as well.
No lack of fights, booked 11 times in the Championship last season.
Yeah, well, listen, that's nearly kind of, I suppose, just the amount
of course,
the amount of tackles that he's trying to put in. And when you're a smaller fella like him,
I was going to say there, probably the one part you'd worry about, not worry, but is athleticism, the size and physicality. And that just means that he's firing into tackles. Like, he's probably going to ground more because he can't make the ground up with his physical attributes and getting his body across people and whatnot. So, but yeah, look, he's a brilliant footballer. And if you could pack the Ireland team, especially with pace and power around him, and he's just disciplined to sit in the middle of the pitch and keep it safe, like, he's going to be a huge player for us.
How do you think we're fixed for this qualifier?
Look, it's going to be important that, if we get positive results, all of a sudden, then it's a brilliant window. You can see the last few windows. Like, you can play really well and you don't get results, nobody cares anymore. Like, so it's all about trying to qualify and get into major tournaments. And I think we've gone on probably long enough now. We're saying that, look, the performances are there. We just,
style of play is irrelevant.
Style of play, like, it is really irrelevant. We still talk about the greatest moments we've ever had was Jack Charlton and Italian 90 and USA 94 and whatever else, and style of play mightn't have been brilliant, but look, it was effective. Aaron O'Neill got us to a tournament as well. It was probably questioned his style of play, but it's similar to what we spoke about with Stoke City. Get Tony Pulis out, we want someone more stylish in, I suppose, and then they had a massive 8 year stint in the Premier League, was it? They were solid as a rock, and then they tried to change and be something that we're not. And
results first from Tim Clancy.
100%. And then implement the more creativity and whatever else. And
but then is it the case that you look at Trapattoni, got us to a certain point with the results and the style of play, and then you end up getting a European Championship like we had, and it was awful.
True.
That's because he wasn't getting the results anymore. Yeah. Look, it is a balancing act, but I've said before, I just don't like the way the modern game is gone so much towards your philosophy. And you land into a club and everybody at the club, players, everybody has to dance around your philosophy and make sure they fit your philosophy and your style of play. I think every manager has to cut their cloth to fit their measure. Like, you have to assess what you've got.
Especially international football, where you can't
sign players
or
change your players.
Bring players in. You have certain players, and if you want to play with them players in a certain way and they're not capable of doing it, or it's not their strong points, well then sort of tweak it.
John, just on for any of the numbers geeks like myself, just to the Josh Cullen performance against Tottenham, I'm sure various different people use different apps for their scorelines and all of that kind of crack. The FootMob app now has GPS numbers up as
the FootMob app. How expensive is this thing?
No, it's free. It's free app. It's the same as a score checker, the same as any of the rest of them. But as you know, I'm kind of into all that crack. So I was keeping an eye on the Spurs Burnley game last weekend. Josh Cullen covered the most distance on the pitch of any player last week, 11.1 kilometres, which was brilliant to see, because as Tim says, that's where there might have been a bit of a question mark. But I think he has spent the last 12 months getting himself fitter and more robust and all of that kind of stuff, you know. But yeah, the numbers are brilliant. Mickey van de Ven's top speed, I love it.
Our GPS machine numbers in the studio right now are all the same.
Static.
We have 3 o'clock games in the Championship. Birmingham 1, Oxford 0. QPR 6-0 down away to Coventry. Coventry 6-0 up. Norwich down to 10 players are 2-0 down at home to Middlesbrough. Finn Azaz scoring. Preston 1, Ipswich 0. Sheffield United 0. Millwall 1. Southampton 0. Stoke 1. Stoke down to 10 though as well. West Brom 1. Portsmouth 1. Mikey Johnson scoring. Wrexham 2. Sheffield Wednesday 1. In Scotland, Celtic 1-0 up against Livingston. In the Women's National League, Dealer Waves 4. Waterford 2. And in the Premier League at the moment, Bournemouth 1. Wolves 0. Wolves down to 10 players. Brentford 1. Aston Villa 0. Brentford value for their lead today. And Burnley won Sunderland 0 with Josh Cullen on the mark. It was Brennan Johnson and Palinha scoring for Tottenham in their 2-0 win against Manchester City at the Etihad earlier. Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy in studio. David Connolly from London on the line on Football Saturday here on Off the Ball on News Talk. We're back after this break.
The John Giles era with Off the Ball has come to an emotional end.
Off the Ball wouldn't exist the way it does without the existence of John Giles.
Helped by a plethora of John's friends and family within and without football, we pay tribute to the great man in front of a selected audience.
So we are here tonight to celebrate not just the impact John has had on Off the Ball over the last 20 years or so, but really the unrivaled impact that he's had on Irish football going back 70 years.
This week in the OTB football feed, look out for the full John Giles tribute night.
If we didn't say John was the best player I've ever played with, he would tell you why he was.
Eddie, I might come to that in a minute. Yeah.
We speak to John himself about his 7 decades in football, former Leeds teammates Eddie Gray and Joe Jordan, plus tributes from Liam Brady, Brian Kerr and many more.
As you say, it's what, 20 odd?
23 years.
20 years. Well, they did well to put up with me for 20 years.
Released in 3 parts, we'll drop the first part of the John Giles tribute night on Tuesday morning. And to mark the occasion, it will be available for free for a limited time only. The John Giles tribute, only available in your OTB football feed.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This
is News Talk.
This is Football Saturday. John Duggan with you through to five with Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy, ex-League of Ireland managers in studio, and on the line, the former Republic of Ireland striker David Connolly. WhatsApp's here, 0879 180 180. Hi lads, David Moyes won four of his last 20. People seem to forget that, says Keegan, who might be a West Ham fan. A load of nonsense for half-time, in my opinion. That's the world of GA managers. Most games are lost in the basics, a missed penalty, a missed free, a red card due to a lack of discipline, etc. I think a club team can manage without their manager for 2 minutes at half-time. For TG Carr, who are doing a great job considering the budget they have, says Anna. There you go, Shane Keegan.
I definitely didn't mean it as a goal against TG Carr, because they are doing absolutely outstanding work. That is for sure.
We have another one as well from a Spurs fan, Connor. Spurs always get off to a great start to the season in recent years. Plenty of manager of the month awards. The depth of the squad's issue with injuries and suspensions when they kick in about October. Frank needs to push hard to get Levy to see that and get quality in before the window. Well, we wish Thomas Frank the best, but we don't have much hope. Us in the studio, anyway. We also have, because we did this last week with David Connolly, just some predictions for the season, guys, because we probably still have a bit of juice in this. Champions of the Premier League, Tim Clancy?
Look, Liverpool, I'd say. I think Liverpool again.
And Shane Keegan, champions?
When the message was sent out yesterday, I thought City. Yeah. Probably a bit knee-jerk for me to back away from that, so I'll stick with City.
Top four, Shane?
Liverpool second, Arsenal third, Chelsea fourth.
And you, Tim?
I think Arsenal could be second, and then I think same two in whatever order, Chelsea and City as well.
Bottom three?
Look, the first things you look at is the promoted sides, because I think the gulf between the Premier League and the Championship is getting bigger and bigger. And then, as we spoke about, maybe Wolves or West Ham or a few who could be in a bit of trouble. But even though I think the bottom three, though, or sorry, the bottom three won't be far off the ones that got promoted. I think
Golden Boot,
Haaland,
yeah, Haaland.
Your bottom three are.
He was quiet today. Again, the teams I wrote down from the bottom three are all winning today. I think. I thought Brentford. I thought Burnley. And who had I? I still think Sunderland. Yeah, could get sucked back into it. Yeah.
Player to watch.
For me, and not just because of last night, but I think Esteve looks absolutely...
Estevo
looks absolutely...
18-year-old
Chelsea. Dad. Yeah, I think he looks electric. I saw a bit of him Club World Cup and that as well. I think he could be a real, real find for them.
I think if Eze goes to Arsenal, I want to see how he's going to be playing at the top end of the table.
Surprise of the season?
And I still think it's going to be Man United being as bad as they were last year. I don't think there's going to be massive improvements there at all. And a surprise is, I think everyone expects them to be better, but I just can't see it. I think there's major problems there.
So they got Mbeumo, they got Šeško, they got Cunha in. Is that not going to make things better?
Yeah, well, I think it might make it better, but I think they're fragile at the back. The keeper situation, the very first thing I'd be doing against Man United now is putting balls under the crossbar. If he makes another mistake from across in the next game or two, that's every set piece is going to be a worry this season.
It's buying dear last week, but even Onana as well, you wouldn't have faith in.
Again, the fans are calling for Onana half the time, and he's becoming sort of a meme because United were Schmeichel, and then they had Van der Sar for so many years, like, and that was the basis of it. But since then, De Gea as well. Sorry, the three of them for the past the two decades were brilliant in the goals, and it's very, very hard to follow that. And United are sort of struggling now at the minute. And if you have that fragility at the back, it doesn't matter how good you are going forward, you'll end up losing a lot of games.
Defensively, midfield, you don't.
No. I just don't think. I think, like, again, what happened to Harry Maguire being left out and frozen out for so long, and now he's back as the main sort of player at the back. I don't know. I just think I just think United find themselves where Liverpool were in the 90s. Were the dominant force for so long, and then they're overpaying to get second-rate players, and the expectations are still to push for Champions League and to challenge, and I think they're miles off it.
I was struggling to find the surprise of the season, to be honest with you. I am 100% happy to row in behind Tim's prediction, because I couldn't agree more. I've said it here. I think Amorim will be the first manager to get... Well, I don't know. Graham Potter's under pressure. Nuno's under pressure. Nuno, but I would have said I think Amorim will be of the teams that's supposed to be up the top end of things. I think he'll be the first one to go. I can't see how he justified a new contract, and I don't think things will get any better. Fernandes and Casemiro is your centre mid partnership. Spend all that money and you end up with Fernandes and Casemiro as your centre midfield partnership. I don't know.
And
I
again, as we spoke, athleticism.
I might look, end up looking stupid, but I can't see how it.
It's the athleticism in the middle of the pitch. Yeah. Like, he can be so good and dominate games, but as soon as the teams break, you look at the a lot of the teams in the league that counter-attack and they're vicious and pace and power, and when you have two players in the middle of the pitch, great footballers, but they can't cover ground.
And they'll have, they'll have some big results and they'll have some big moments.
They were
like
better,
Cunha,
better team against Arsenal last week, one could argue.
Yeah, but they lost. Like, and that's what Emmerich said.
Results.
No, but Emmerich came out and said that. We've proved now we can beat the top teams, but you haven't proved it. You didn't beat them.
Tim Clancy bringing the reality.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, like I do, I mean, I was a massive fan of Cunha at Wolves. I do think that's a really, really good signing for them. But similar to how, I find the Arsenal Madueke signing one of the most head scratching signings I've seen in a long, long time. You know, spend your resources in the areas of the field that are most demanding of it. How the hell do you sign a fourth right winger when you have three fantastic right wingers there already and you have no left winger? The same applies to me at United. I know United didn't score enough goals, but there's probably no need to bring in three new bodies there. You know, two new bodies there plus a top class centre midfielder, to me, would have been the way to go.
You spent 270 million, I think, and you haven't had any money in the door either. So, again, are they getting closer to the team? Would you say United are anywhere closer to Liverpool or Man City or Chelsea or Arsenal? I don't think they are.
The only way he can play with the shape that he wants to play with and play the three players is for him to do exactly what he did, which is to play Bruno deeper. And I think he is going to end up playing Bruno deeper a lot. And I think that's, he drives me mad now to watch him with his body language at times, but I thought he was yet again by far and away the outstanding player last year. And now you're taking him out of the position in which he can be most influential to accommodate other players because you haven't signed a player to play deeper.
David Connolly, what do you think about Manchester United and what the lads are saying?
I thought they played very well against Arsenal. I thought they were really, really unlucky. They put a lot of good work in. I thought the front three looked as good as I've seen a front three. I thought Brian Mbeumo was brilliant. I thought Cunha was a real handful. If that's anything to go by, you know, they're going to be vastly improved. I mean, my surprise of the season, I think I said it last week, was I'm hoping minimum one, if not two, of the promoted teams stay up. And I think that's going to be really important for the league because otherwise it's just a closed shop, more or less. And I think Sunderland have got a decent chance. I think they made some really good signings with the players they brought in. We saw Leeds at home. Elland Road can be a fortress. You just don't know. And all it takes is a couple of teams to have, like, a bad season. Could be Wolves, could be West Ham, could be somebody like that. But I think it's going to be healthier for the league if some of those teams that got up give it a good go, you know, a really good go.
Well, Leeds did very well against Everton. They were clearly the better team and won 1-0. So maybe they have, Daniel Farke has learned some things from the previous promotions he's got. Brentford won Aston Villa 0 in the Premier League. Still, Burnley won Sunderland 0 and Bournemouth won Wolves 0. In the Championship, Birmingham 1, Oxford 0. Coventry 7, QPR 0 now. What is going on there? Norwich 0, Middlesbrough 2. Preston 1, Ipswich 0. Sheffield United 0, Millwall 1 now. Southampton 0, Stoke 1. West Brom 1, Portsmouth 1. And Wrexham 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1. Women's National League, 80 minutes gone. Dealer Waves 4, Waterford 2, a latest score in Scotland. Celtic now 2-0 up against Livingston at Parkhead after what's been a bit of a tricky week. So that's what's happening there. What about Alexander Isak, lads? Will it happen? Will it happen, Shane Keegan, eventually?
Yeah, I'd be fairly adamant that it still will. I have read pieces during the week that say Newcastle are willing to let him rot in the reserves and train on his own and all that, if that's what it takes for him not to get his way. I don't know. I think if the player is that adamant that they want out of a club, I don't know how you stop it happening, really.
Something must have been promised to him in January. He came out the other day, obviously, with his Instagram post and saying that promises have been let down or whatever else, haven't been fulfilled and whatever else. Look, there's no way back from a Newcastle now. I think that's...
Not even if he apologises and starts scoring goals again, everybody forgets about it. It's not the way football works.
It does, but he wants out. I think he wants out, and the club now have gone the other way. If they're saying they want to let him rot, sure, it benefits nobody. That's where the money man upstairs say, right, this is where he's at his most value right now. They might want 150, 160 million. If they have 130 on the table, they might have to take it. He wants out. And again, look, I think Liverpool fans are probably a little bit going, well, we don't want him in here either, because they seem to have a brilliant cohesive squad. Do they want the player coming in that's causing that much problem at their previous club? But something has definitely gone on in the background, and promises have been made to him and haven't been fulfilled, I feel anyway, for him to be that strong and come out publicly with the comments he did the other day.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens and what did happen. Just on Liverpool, the first week, you know, Ekitike obviously scored. It was an emotional night. Was there a right balance between defence and attack? Gravenberch didn't play. So, I mean, Monday night will be interesting. It'll say a lot.
Yeah.
St. James's.
Yeah. I think there is room for improvement there. I think, is there reports of a Frimpong injury? I think that could be an issue. But there's still, whether Isak is the one that they go for or not, they could probably do with one more if you do.
Yeah,
Max,
exactly, until after the international break for Imprang. Yeah. Obviously Conor Bradley will be in the frame.
Yeah. They probably do need one more, because you've got what, three out if you take, obviously, you know, unfortunate Jota situation, or more than unfortunate situation with Jota, that's Diaz gone, Nunez gone, Jota gone. So what, you've probably got two in to replace for those three. I think they probably could do with another body there. Isak, you know, if you remove everything else that's gone on around him in the last couple of weeks as a player, I mean, he'd almost make them unbeatable. Like, I think he would take them to another level again. Ekiteke has looked excellent, but Isak is absolutely proven at this level for a while. So I think they will push to try and get that through. I think they'll do everything they can to try and get over the line.
David Connolly, you played for a load of clubs. The whole loyalty thing, I mean, Wayne Rooney criticised Wissa Brentford for his Instagram removal of Brentford from his page. But look, you play for so many clubs. Is there a loyalty in football? Because, you know, if you're not cutting it, you're going to be discarded as a player. So you have to look after your own interests, don't you?
Well, I think this is very nuanced, John. So,
right. Not black and white.
It's not. So we don't know what's going on in the background, like, to all these, like the lads are saying, and Tim was saying, maybe he's been made promises, Isak or, you know, Vissa, or, you know, maybe they were promised a new... we've all been in football a long time. We might all be promised contracts by managers, and then they don't materialise. Or there was, I think there was a photograph the other day of a Chelsea player that they put out, and it was the bomb squad, you know, and it was this, looked like a prison cell, and there was like four lads in there, you know, that they don't want. You know, never mind, they signed them, and then they put them on 7-year contracts to, like, for the amortization of the contract, to lengthen it out for PSR rules, but they've still got like 5 years left to run, and they don't want them, you know, and they're in a different dressing room. So it's very difficult to say. The only thing, I don't think not playing doesn't help you. So, and I'd love to play. So I'm sure if I was in the same position, I'd probably just want to play rather than not playing, because it's going to take me twice long to get going at the other end. And maybe if you're playing and you're scoring goals, Liverpool, or if it's Newcastle for Vissa and Liverpool for Isak, maybe they'll chuck up another million or 5 million or wherever it may be. Because when you're talking 120 mil or whatever, if they're going to pay that, Liverpool, another 2, 3, 4, 5 mil on top, you know, you just, the agent drop his feet. There's loads of ways to do it. So it's a shame that they're not playing, because look, but you know, but both teams will need those sorts of players. Brentford will need a Johan Vissa, even though they're winning today, and Newcastle certainly would need an Isak. So hopefully it gets sorted sooner rather than later for both of those players. Doesn't do anyone, doesn't do the clubs any good or the manager. Difficult for Eddie Howe and for Keith Andrews, because you keep being asked the same questions. What can you say? You know, you kind of got, you know, you don't want to throw him up, any of these players, sort of like, you know, from under a bus or whatever, and finish their time at the club. You heard Dan Burn. I don't know if you heard Dan Burn talking last week. And he was sort of like, if it was me, I'd just be like, yeah, I want him back, because you know why? We're going to win more games. I think Newcastle could finish top four if they keep him. you want our best players. Who cares if he might want to go X, Y, Z? We're going to win more if he's with us. So don't let him go. Keep him. Try and keep him at the club unless he's going to be trouble. And you'd like to think, you know, playing for a club like Newcastle is still a great club. You know, you're not going to be causing trouble. You shouldn't be.
Yeah. Okay, got to take a break. Johnny Kenny scored the Celtics' third against Livingston this afternoon in the Premiership. They lead 3-0. In the Women's National League, Dealer Waves 4, Waterford 2 approaching full-time. In the Premier League, it is Brentford 1, Villa 0, Burnley 1, Sunderland 0, and Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0. The Championship latest scores, Birmingham 1, Oxford 0, Coventry 7, QPR 0, Norwich pull one back against Middlesbrough 2-1 down, Preston 1, Ipswich 0, Sheffield United 0, Millwall 1, Southampton 1, Stoke 2, West Brom 1, Portsmouth 1, and Wrexham 2, Sheffield Wednesday 2. Shane Keegan, Tim Clancy and David Connolly on Football Saturday between now and 5 after this.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+, gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
And you're welcome back to Football Saturday. John Duggan with you 3 to 5 here on News Talk with Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy in studio, ex-League of Ireland managers, and David Connolly, former Republic of Ireland striker, on the line from London. Still 1-0 to Brentford against Aston Villa in the Premier League. It's still 1-0 to Burnley against Sunderland, Josh Cullen scoring, and 1-0 to Bournemouth against Wolves. Teams are in for Arsenal against Leeds. For Arsenal, Raya in goal, Timber, Saliba, Gabriel and Calafiori across the back, Odegaard, Zubimendi and Rice, Saka, Gyökeres and Madueke. That's their 11. For Leeds, Perry in goal. We have Bogle, Rodon, Strouk and Goodmanson, Tanaka, Gruyev, Stach, James, Peru and Nanto. They're the 11s for Leeds and Arsenal. We've got some WhatsApps in here, 0879 180 180. A lot of Spurs fans in touch today. Sean in touch, great win for Spurs today, but we need at least three players in before the window closes if we're going to challenge for the top four. Nice message from Joe Whelan here. Hi to Shane. Remember as a young lad going to Spurs Coventry in about 87 or 88 when I came back to school in St Kieran's in Rathdowney. Shane was full of questions, was even in awe, even knew someone who went to a Spurs game. He was a dinger in the schoolyard. I wasn't surprised to see he had a great career in soccer.
Well, Joe.
Fair places, Joe. And we have lots of things to discuss before we go off air, including the fact that Roma Bologna is on DAZN in the UK and Ireland if you want to watch Evan Ferguson tonight from 7:45.
I'm so outdated that I've been quizzing Tim on what the hell DAZN is. I could try to figure out, do I have DAZN? Do I not have DAZN? Have I to pay an extra subscription for DAZN?
You're in DAZN at the moment.
I'm in DAZN. Yeah. I'm sure I'll manage to find a way to watch Evan this evening, all going well.
Legally, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Just on the League of Ireland last night, Tim Clancy, obviously Rovers and Shelburne. Just on the week, though, I mean, it's been like if they can just finish the job, these two clubs, what an amazing week it'll be for Irish football next week.
Yeah, brilliant. Look, it's two teams. I think if you had asked Shells at the start of this campaign, you get to beat Linfield over two legs twice to get to a group stage, they would have bit your hand off. How it played out on Thursday with them going down to 10 men quite early, I'd say. Probably a little bit disappointed, not another goal or two ahead, but I think they're going to do enough to go to Windsor and get that job done. I think the Rovers result has probably flew under the radar a little bit. That's a Portuguese team that's finishing in European places, and they go away from home, go behind, and then come out with a win. Like, it's just phenomenal what that group of players is doing over the last four or five seasons. You're going in now with expecting some of them to get results in Europe and qualify for the group stage. This year they've come in, obviously, and they haven't had the Champions League route where they've had a buffer if they lose a game to then go into the next round and drop down. So I think probably to get to the group stage this year for Rovers would be nearly as big as achievement as any of the other ones, probably even more.
I mean, Tim is saying that the Rovers' result is flying under the radar. Probably the point I'd make on it is I think Stephen Bradley as a manager is flying. I think he's actually flying under it. I still don't think he's getting enough plaudits. Like, he's done an absolutely remarkable job over a long period of time here now for Shamrock Rovers, and probably the only thing that maybe held him back in terms of Stephen Kenny comparisons maybe were Europe. Well, had he got those one or two big European nights to hang his reputation on? Well, he had one Thursday night, John, and if they can go and complete the job next week, is right up there with the achievements of any of our League of Ireland sides in Europe in recent years. He's been outstanding. They had the one blip last year. You go back to the start of his reign, and let's be honest, you know, when you think back to how many managers where the boards have pulled the trigger, there wouldn't have been a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of questions asked had Rovers pulled the trigger on him back in his infancy as a manager. But they stuck with him to give him a bit of a space to breathe and find his feet. And my God, have they been rewarded since. I think it's been incredible. I've said it before, it's a pity that Stephen's term as manager is so recent and that it didn't go well. Because if that hadn't happened, I think the talk would absolutely
Stephen
be
Kenny,
Stephen Kenny. Yeah, I think if that hadn't happened, I think absolutely the talk right now would be that, you know, if and when the job comes around again, Stephen Bradley has 100% got to be seriously in the conversation. I still think that should be the case. I'm just saying, I think a lot of people within the FAI's opinions will be tarnished by.
But it could be the case with Damien Duff, surely, as well.
Yeah, in a much shorter period of time, though.
I do look. I think Stephen's been brilliant at Rovers. I think there's a big step between the Irish senior job. I think, like, so Damien Duff walked into anywhere, any dressing room in the UK or anywhere else. He has a background of work in the playing career, whether it's right or wrong, where he'll grip the dressing room and he has the respect. It's very, very hard for anybody without that playing background to go and make a dint in the UK as a manager. You have to be given the opportunity. It has to be really the right club. If Stephen ended up getting an MK Dons or a Lincoln, I'd love to see how well he does when he doesn't have the biggest budget, when he doesn't have the best squad, the most experienced squad, the best facilities. Then it would be really a question to see how well he does. I think if the Ireland senior job comes tomorrow, I think Damien Duff would be a far better fit for it than Stephen Bradley, although Bradley's been brilliant at Rovers, and what he's done, especially in Europe, has been very good. But I think, like, with Damien's reputation in the game and his success at Shells as well, you've got to remember he'd done a Leicester City really with Shelburne win the league last year when their budget was budget, so that can't go unnoticed either. But I do think it's a huge step for anyone inside this country to go and make an imprint at international level and the UK without the playing background or the persona that Duffer has.
And Roy, according to Roy, huh?
Well, Roy'd have to be top man, wouldn't he? So
can you have two top men?
I don't think you'd have two of them. Maybe at a big club in England, but I don't know if the Irish job would be the way that could work out. Just on last night's, anything you noticed from last night's matches in the Premier Division?
Look, there was very little in a lot of the games. I think. I think, again, you're talking about managers doing well. I think the job that John Russell's doing at Sligo is ridiculous. Similar to Brighton and Brentford, like, he seems to sign very well, and at the end of every season, the other clubs come and take his best players, and then he has to put a squad together again. He doesn't start the season well, and now they're absolutely flying again. There's when I left in May, I think we were 3 or 4 points ahead of Sligo at the bottom of the league, and now I think there's a 10-point gap again the other way, so. And he's a point off Galway. He's only 4 or 5 off Waterford. Owen Elding is
FAI Cup, and
Owen Elding as well. He's doing it with playing really attacking football, and his main player this season has been a 19-year-old who, look, I think he's getting his international clearance to play for Ireland, I think, soon, and no doubt he'll be in the next 21 squad or the one after whenever it clears. And I think he's going to be one that could go away and be another player that we're looking at in years to come, because athletically he's very good, physically he's very good. He's a lefty, which always makes a difference. And he scores goals. Like, he's scoring the winner and he's sort of dragging them along. He's phenomenal.
Goal and an assist for Josh Cullen today. Burnley 2, Sunderland 0 now in stoppage time. So Scott Parker had a great record last season in the Championship, and they're going to set for their first win. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 0. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0. In the Premier League, all these games coming to a close. You looking forward to Arsenal against Leeds? This would be decent enough now at 5:30, David Connolly.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I just to change just quickly, I did see an image there, and Keith Andrews, I'm sure, will be straight up into the director's box if they win, because Claudia Schiffer is there, you know, the supermodel. So I believe her husband is now invested in Brentford. So there was a shot there of her in the stand with the shirt on and the sunglasses. So I'm sure there'll be a few winging away up to the director's box there.
Yeah, bigger celebrity than Keith Andrews. The Championship results coming through.
So Birmingham 1, Oxford 0, Coventry 7, QPR 1. What a result that is. Preston 1, Ipswich 0, Sheffield United 0, Millwall 1. Southampton and Stoke is a later score, 2-1 to Stoke, their lead. West Brom 1, Portsmouth 1, a result. That was a goal from Mikey Johnson in that game. Wrexham 2, Sheffield Wednesday 2, a result. And still playing, Norwich 1, Middlesbrough 2, with Finn Azaz scoring today. Result from the Women's National League, DLR Waves 4, Waterford 2, and Scotland latest, Celtic 3, Livingston 0, with Johnny Kenny scoring the third. And results 3-all between Hearts and Motherwell, and Kilmarnock 0, Dundee 0. Just to let you know, in the rugby in the World Cup, Scotland against Wales. Scotland beat Wales by 38 points to 8 today. Ethical Diamond at 5-1. The favourite won the Ebor for Willie Mullins at York. David Connolly, thanks so much. Look forward to speaking soon.
Cheers, lads.
And Shane Keegan and Tim Clancy, appreciate you coming in.
Cheers, John.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, guys, today on Football Saturday. That's it, folks, for the afternoon. We got to leave it there. Don't forget, Off the Ball back tomorrow, 1 to 7 here on News Talk. We got two live and exclusive commentary games to bring you from the Premier League. First up, Jonathan Higgins and Brian Kerr will call the match between Everton and Brighton from the Toffees new stadium. Then Richie McCormack and Keith Tracy will provide commentary of the match between Fulham and Manchester United. Also got updates on Ireland against Japan in the Women's World Cup and the Sunday paper review. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Thank you for listening to us on your radio across the country here on News Talk today. As before we go off air, to let you know, it has ended. Bournemouth 1, Wolves 0 in the Premier League. A win for Bournemouth today after their defeat on the opening weekend. Latest scores, Brentford 1, Aston Villa 0 in stoppage time, and Burnley 2, Sunderland 0. We're back on air tomorrow on your radio, Off the Ball Sunday News Talk, 1 until 7. Look forward to chatting then. Bye-bye. Get my ball!